and this is Coast Community Radio. KMUNS, Storia 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org. Wherever you are in the world, whether you're fiddling or faddling, I hope you're enjoying life. It's gorgeous here. The sky is blue. I think it's still blue, yeah. And there's quite a breeze, very comfortable. 60 degrees, although I'm not really sure that what that means because it feels warm and beautiful. And I am happy to say that spring is here today, one day at a time. It is time for Arts Live and Local. So first, I want to give a shout out. We lost another wonderful local artist just a few days ago. So here's to the spirit of Anna Marie. Many of us, many of the folks who may not even think they know who she is probably did, because you saw her here and there, including a Bleat photographer for many years, the Frame Shop. And so, everybody, please try to stay healthy and alive. This is such a fantastic area for the arts, and we want to keep everybody here. Speaking of that, I'm going to send out this show to, well, let's just start out with some music from, I think, Belgium. Belgium. Y'all know what's happening.
Aujourd'hui, c'est le bal des gens bien. Demoiselles, que vous êtes jolies. Pas question de penser aux folies. Les folies sont affaires de vos rien. On n'oublie pas les belles manières. On demande au papa s'il permet. Et comme il se méfie des gourmets, il vous passe la muselière. Vous permettez, monsieur, que j'emprunte votre fille. Et bien qu'il me sourie, moi je sens bien qu'il se méfie. Vous permettez, monsieur, nous promettons d'être sages, comme vous l'étiez à notre âge, juste avant le mariage. Bien qu'un mètre environ nous sépare, nous vaurons par-delà les violons. On doit dire entre nous, on se marre. Allez voir ajuster leur lorgnon. Vous permettez, monsieur, que j'emprunte votre fille. Et bien qu'il me sourie, moi je sens bien qu'il se méfie. Permettez, monsieur, nous promettons d'être sages, comme vous l'étiez à notre âge, juste avant le mariage. Que d'amour dans nos mains qui s'étreignent, que d'élan vers ton cœur dans le mien. Le regard des parents s'il retient, n'atteint pas la tendresse où l'on baigne. Vous permettez.
Well, we're listening to music from Belgium, which isn't that far away. And as long as we are in Northern Europe, why don't we just switch over to Finland?
Let the rivers run.
Ooh, no, 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 no. I don't want anybody singing right now. I've got some folks here in the studio to talk about the real Lewis and Clark story, you know, the real one, and how the Finns discovered Astoria. It's a true story. They're smiling. I'm smiling, too, because we all know that's not a true story. But, Oh, no. I've just shocked. Judith Nyland is here, who actually channeled this story. Is that right?
That's right.
There you go.
There's true historical fact behind this story.
Uh-huh. Where'd you find this historic?
Well, you know, in the archives of diaries and family recollections of how life really was here.
I see. Was that your family?
No. I'm an adopted Finn. Chris Lynn Taylor told me I was.
Okay.
No,
you're
I'm Irish.
Honorary Finn. There
honorary,
you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm an honorary Finn, too. I'm a member of the Kalevala. Well, but speaking of family, we have the family here. We have... So Judith actually wrote and directs the... This is the 6th annual Lewis and Clark, the real Lewis and Clark story, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria. And you know, so far anyway, that when Judith Nyland is involved, it has to do with the Astor Street Opry Company. Now, that may change.
That's changing.
Talk about that. But first, I do want to introduce the rest of the family. I have Joyce Nyland here. Hi, Joyce.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Good. Don't forget it's radio. You can't just shake your head. You know? And Joyce's esteemed husband, Stanley Azen or Azen?
Azen.
Azen.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome. And Joyce and Stanley both have that comma PhD after their names. And the reason they're here today is that they actually, together with Professor Philip Morrill, created the music for this production. So I'm looking at, you created the music and you got PhDs, so are you musicologists? Is that what you do with those degrees? Joyce is looking down like, I'm not going to answer this question. This is a trick question, I can tell.
Should I answer?
Sure.
Yeah, I can answer very briefly. This is Stan Azen speaking. That as I was born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I was passionate about learning about music when I was a nine-year-old kid, and I was the only nine-year-old kid admitted to the Butler University, and my teacher there was a student of Rachmaninoff's.
Okay.
So he gave me a very, very, very strong classical training. Then when I moved to California at high school age, then I studied with very famous musicians there, Vladimir Horowitz and Artur Rubinstein. And I, at the university, I was asked to write music for different films, which I can summarize very quickly. One of the films was called The World Outside. It was the story of a blind autistic kid who was treated by a therapist who got him over his autism, even though he still was blind, but to get him over that so he could become normal.
Quote,
and the music I wrote was for piano and flute, and the flutist was like a 14-year-old girl who now is the principal flutist of the LA Philharmonic.
Sweet.
And the music we put together to describe the blind kid won an award at the Cannes Film Festival.
Wow. So now, how old were you when you did that?
And I would have been about, probably about 22 years old or so, or even less.
Okay. So you were majoring in music then?
I was minoring in music.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But majoring in mathematics and statistics and science. And as a result of that, I ended up getting a doctorate in biostatistics. I was recruited by USC to build a department there. And I did do that, and in fact won an award. I was the third person since the 10th century to get an honorary doctorate in Italy for my biomedical discoveries.
Wow.
And I had to give my speech in Italian. Every time I read my slides, I sound like I was speaking Spanish. But
did you know Italian by then? Or you
What happened there is I wrote the slides in English.
Uh-huh.
And I play piano in an Italian restaurant, and my the boss of the restaurant translated my slides into Italian. And then when I would read the slides that he translated into Italian, he says, "Stan, let me tell you, it sounds like you're speaking Spanish, right. Not Italian.
Hey,
when you get to Italy, please find a pretty hostess to practice your Italian."
I see.
My wife gave me dirty looks at that time.
I see. Now hold on a second, though. I understand that mathematics and music have a very strong link. So what? How would you say? Because that's what you're telling us right now, and I've heard that. I really do
think it has a very strong link. And in fact, among all my friends who became scientists, lawyers, whatever, they all are musicians too, and they're all really happy that the music kind of, you know, gives them the courage and the things like that. So it is an interesting thing.
Yeah,
just to answer your original question, we both do biomedical research, and we're both in the field of science, so there is this, you know, science, math, music mm-hmm. linkage that we both enjoy.
Spectrum, yeah. Speaking mm-hmm. of. Yep. Yeah, so... boy, Judith, I don't know how you escaped.
I don't. I can't play an instrument to save my life. I sing, they say. Uh-huh, well, I don't know. They cry and leave the room. Well, I know that's a sign of honor, I'm
you
sure.
Use
they just can't handle it.
Creativity
yes,
in
yes.
so many ways. So tell us a little bit about this, the real Lewis and Clark story. Now, the local folks probably are aware of it and also may understand it a little bit better when you tell us. But why don't you go ahead and try?
Bottom line.
Yeah, bottom line.
We all know Lewis and Clark. They came here. Yeah. You know, our town is named after John Jacob Astor yeah. and et cetera, and the history, Fort George yeah. and Fort Columbia. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when we uncovered these diaries that showed that actually two Finnish boys were on the journey to the Great Pacific. They were never named because there was jealousy. Jealousy, pure and simple. Meriwether didn't want to be upstaged. And so, you know, they got here. They missed the boat. They tracked them down. They got here first. A Finnish girl.
Oh, they were on a different boat.
Well, they were running behind them almost the entire time trying to get there. And a Finnish girl named Lena actually saw the ocean first.
Of course, a woman.
When she was visiting the salt mines.
Of course.
An Indian chief's son, just because, you know,
and,
she was looking for her husband.
And this all came from the diaries. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. It was Ole's great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was found buried in a wall over in Uniontown area.
Of course.
Yeah, when they were remodeling a house over there.
Uh-huh.
And I got my hands on it. Got
uh-huh.
to see it.
Uh-huh.
I don't have it anymore. Because the person who owned it took it back. So I can't prove it.
And of course you're not going to name names.
I was told I can't bring their family into
otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, oh, I see.
You know, they just,
the
they
family
want
matter.
Anonymity
yeah.
and
I,
you know,
I
all
see.
That stuff.
Now, how did she manage to talk you to sort of, you use the word normal, which isn't in my vocabulary, but you two sort of normal people. How did Judith, I mean, I know your sisters, but how did she manage to talk you into this?
Well, she used the family connections. She leveraged that over the holidays, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. She came down for Christmas mm-hmm. to visit us in Southern California and mm-hmm. said, I have written this wonderful new script. It's mm-hmm. a lot of fun. It's going to prove how the Finns actually discovered Astoria. However, I have no music, mm-hmm. and we're about to start, you know, the casting.
We audition in 6 weeks. Can you help me?
That's right. So Stan and I went to work, and we like to do this together. He writes beautiful music. I enjoy turning it into lyrics. Mm-hmm. We took some old sea shanties. We mm-hmm. repurposed them. Mm-hmm. We took some popular songs. We put in totally different words, as you will see when you come to the show,
of
which
course.
Is a must, of course.
Which is opening tonight, folks. But wait a second. Now, had you... Joyce, had you seen all the other...
I had seen Shanghai many times.
Okay,
I saw
the Astor
Scrooged
Street opera.
In Astoria.
Yeah. Okay.
I was a great fan of the melodrama.
She is my
and
biggest
the productions.
Fan.
That's
right.
That's good because she sure got suckered into being
sure
part
did.
Of it. You're lucky that you live in Southern California. Joyce Nyland and Stanley or Stan Azen, because if you lived here, you would have had to give up your professions and go full hand into the Astor Street Opry Company. That's what your sister does to people.
Mm-hmm.
She,
oh,
she,
we know it.
I don't know exactly. She, you know, I keep my distance when I see her coming. But
see?
And being lucky
oh,
in Southern
such a reputation.
In Southern California also. And we finished. We needed a demo tape. So a friend of ours who has his own studio garage, he's a composer,
right.
drummer, a music sound editor, and had produced Stan's CDs. We went over to his house and we did a whole demo tape. before she came home, she was ready to roll.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. True.
You're a lucky woman.
I know.
I tell you. So, but you haven't written any other music for Astoria, have you?
Not for Astoria, but
not
for
yet.
An international society. We wrote some music and anthems.
Recently? Yeah. Are you still writing music?
Yeah, I wrote music. I was president of an international organization, and we had a meeting in Australia. Sydney, and when I got there, I was told, "Hey, Eileen, to let you know that you wrote the anthem for this organization, and your wife wrote the lyrics."
Wait, you had already done it, but you didn't know that they had adopted it as their anthem.
No, we offered it up to them.
We offered it up to them,
and then
I learned at this last minute was I've got to stand on the stage at the Sydney Opera House and sing the song that Joyce and I wrote for the anthem. And
oh, my.
So I was pretty nervous, but people loved it. And the next day, the newspaper, and the Sydney newspaper, said, "Professor from Los Angeles wrote music for this and blah, 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 and did it very well." And
that was very nice of the Australians to accept Americans doing this work, too.
Right. And it was really quite, unexpected, but totally
That's
wonderful.
Wonderful. Now, when was that?
That would have been probably, about 15 years ago so.
Okay. I have another question. You play an instrument as well?
Piano, yeah.
Piano. And do you have a piano at home?
I do. And I've played in Pasadena, which is our primary home. I've played at a number of about four different very famous restaurants. I was the featured pianist. Mm-hmm. And I would play about 15 years. And the other thing that was interesting, since I was a professor in preventive medicine, all my students would come to hear me play the piano. And then the girl or the guy would say, "Oh, I want to introduce you to my new boyfriend or girlfriend.
Oh, sweet.
And would you play at our wedding?" And I said,
"Oh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh, look at this.
I'll play at your wedding free of charge." And I've done a Korean
that
wedding, a Brazilian
sweet.
Wedding, an African-American wedding.
Very sweet.
And my wife even played the drums for the the Brazilian wedding and so on.
You guys are very flexible. Well, you know what? You would fit in, and you wouldn't have to hear. And you wouldn't even have to be with the Astor Street Opera Company full-time, because all of our, well, I shouldn't say all, but most of our local restaurants and venues do have local musicians playing. The Browns Meat Flats split up and play, and across the river on the Washington side. So anytime you're ready to leave the grueling life in L.A., Pasadena, whatever. So let's remind people the real Lewis and Clark story, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria, is opening tonight. It's running Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m., and it runs through April 30th with two Sunday matinees, the 17th and the 24th. So not this weekend, but the following weekends, and then closes on the 30th. And also, I understand you're doing your cheap Friday night thing. Is that
true? It's Family Fridays now. And so Family Fridays are all tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for kids.
Okay. Okay. Now, as my listeners know, we don't give prices.
Oops.
But
sorry.
But that it's kind of neat that
it's different than it used to be, though.
Yeah, it's different. But now you know. And it's good. And you can call for tickets or for information, 503-325-6104. Or you can go online, Astor Street Opry, O-P-R-Y Company, AstorStreetOpryCompany.com. One quick question, Judy. You have some auditions coming up for Junior Shanghai?
Yes, the auditions are this Saturday at noon, and it's for juniors. It's going to be a Junior Shanghai's done every other year. It's ages 8 to about 14, plus some older kids might be brought in if needed. Bill Carr, Heather Ramsdell, directing with it's who else is Mary Ritter's the production manager, Dina Tuving is the music director, and you know, we're excited. We haven't done it for a couple of years, so it plays in June, and the auditions are on Saturday, and the rehearsals are weekdays starting after that, 4 to 6.
And this is a great way for kids who show promise, like they're acting out all over the house. Get them over to the Astor mm-hmm. Street Opry and let them act out on stage.
Let us throw popcorn at them.
Yes, yes. It's really a lot of fun. But tonight, we open with the real Lewis and Clark story, or how the Finns discovered Astoria. I've got to let these folks go, but I do want you to tell us, if you would, what's happening in your life.
Oh, in my life? Well, I made a decision at the first of the year that I'm going to move on to new things. It's only been 31 years. So, you know, I've lived here 32 years, and I've always been part of the Astor Street Opry Company, pretty much from the first year it was born. And I'm just in September, when Shanghai wraps up, I'm wrapping up too, and I'm going to just step away from all job aspects I do completely and get back to some of my roots in art and hanging out with my guy and his two kids, and we're going to go right. do something different.
Excellent. Well, they'll miss you, but they know where to find you. And we won't miss you.
Not when I change my phone number and email.
We won't miss you because you ain't going nowhere.
I'm not leaving town.
You can go
I
on
love
trips,
it here.
But of
That's
course.
Right.
Of course. So, Judy Nylund, congratulations. And I
Thanks.
Understand that Phil Morrill is going to.
Phil Morrill's also moving, and he's
year.
Been with the show, I believe. I'm trying to remember, it's between 12 and 15
yeah,
years. We've
it's
had
great.
The same. And he has given his heart and soul to the company. So, a shout out to Phil if he's listening. We couldn't have done it without him. He helped produce music for Scrooge, Lewis and Clark.
Right.
He was there for us, and we're also looking for a piano player.
There you go. Well, there I've got one for you.
Well, you know,
Stan,
we have to move.
Oh, hey, that's okay. They're ready to retire. I can tell. They're tired of the sun. Okay.
Yeah, let me just tell you that I bought some new glasses now, so I can see sharp. Otherwise,
oh, no.
Otherwise,
oh, yeah.
I'll be flat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, okay, folks, it's time to move on. That sounds like something out of one of Judy's productions, actually.
See why we get along?
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for coming up here.
Thank you.
And
for
thanks for making the music.
Thank you for asking the
it's
question
great,
so well.
Okay, you bet. That's
fantastic cast comes
yeah,
to the show.
We'll see you tonight.
And that's my guests have been, in addition to Judith Nylund, Joyce Nylund, and Stan Azen from Pasadena, California, who created the music together with Phil Morrill for Lewis and Clark. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Don't break your legs. Okay. Okay, folks, and I mentioned them already, but I want to give a shout out to, and some music for you, to the Brownsmead Flats, who created a song a while ago. And it was Ned who wrote this song. It's called In the Breach. And as most of you who listen to the news at all know, it is extremely relevant because we're about, I say we generously, to restore the Klamath River and the salmon by removing the four dams, and which provide very little power. And the tribes are depending on the salmon, and I think most people are very happy about this. Not everyone, of course, but thanks. Have a listen. Stay tuned. KMUN, KTCB.
Let the rivers run free. Let salmon swim unhindered to and from the sea. Let the rivers run wild. Let the rivers run free. Let the salmon swim unhindered to and from the sea. Woody Guthrie once wrote down a famous song about the Columbia River's power turning darkness to dawn. If he'd known the terrible price we paid, I wonder what verses he might have made. The mighty dams that man has built are slowly being filled up with trash. Let the rivers run wild.
run free. Let the salmon swim unhindered to and from the sea. Let the rivers run wild. Let the rivers run free. Let the salmon swim unhindered to and from the sea. Now picture, if you will, the Pacific Northwest as a patient suffering cardiac arrest. The dam's a clog, its major artery may force us to perform major surgery.
The Brown's Meat Flats from their Astoria album, In the Breach. Congratulations to people who figured out how to work together to make things happen. Okay, speaking of people getting together and making things happen, I have a couple here. They're kind of an odd couple. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist.
No, that's true.
I didn't plan that, I swear. But I'm looking at the poster, and here you are.
Yeah.
One of them is the director, and the other is one of the two stars in the show. We're talking about The Odd Couple by Neil Simon, which Riverbend Players is putting on, and I have director Betsy McMahon here, and also Oscar, as in Brian McMahon.
It's a perfect match.
It's a perfect match. There you go. So what's, in addition to this being a terrific play, many of you are familiar with either the play or the movie or the TV, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But there's something else that's special of this particular production, and that is this the Virgin production in the new theater?
Yes.
Yes.
We are it.
This
we
is
are.
Very exciting.
Right.
The NCRD, which is the North County Recreation District Theater, is brand new modeling. I can't wait to see it because I've
beautiful.
Sat in those very, very uncomfortable seats.
Yeah.
So this is going to be fantastic. For those of you who are wondering where that is, because you hear a lot about NCRD on KMUN and KTCB, it's in Nehalem, 9th Street. Get yourself south on 101 if you're coming from, obviously, from the north, and just take a left on 9th or reverse in the other direction. Mm-hmm. And it is opening not this weekend. It's opening in 2 weeks from mm-hmm. tonight. Is that right?
April 16th.
April
Saturday night.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Which is only about one
actually
week.
Actually, 1 week.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So
this
it's
is
hell
interesting
week.
The way because you started with Friday, so I'm looking at April
yeah,
22nd.
I know.
Yeah,
right.
It's a little
very
confusing. Yeah.
I know because that place is so popular with all kinds mm-hmm. of things. So, okay, so it starts on Saturday, April 16th, which mm-hmm. is in a week. Now, did you choose this play, or was it
oh,
chosen?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Neil Simon. I mean, who doesn't want to do Neil Simon as a play? If they can handle it. This is by far extremely challenging because it is Neil Simon. It's
yes.
very demanding in many ways as far as acting. His writing is phenomenal. And but luckily, we have the cream of the crop as far as actors. We really do.
Other than
company included.
I was going to say.
No, we really, we've just, it just so happened he was cast as Oscar. He's a perfect Oscar.
It's a natural fit.
That's
okay.
right. But we just, oh, we've been so lucky. And the crew, hardworking. I mean, this is what you really want to hear from a production, and it just couldn't be better. So we feel strong and confident, although we still need to get our lines a little more perfect.
Yeah, well, but you still have another week
that's life.
To go. But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is, and well, I'll ask you, because I don't know that I've ever had this experience. Mm-hmm. How is it to be in a brand new place, although mm-hmm. it's the same place that you've been for years, but now mm-hmm. it's like that much better. So right. how does that feel? Is that affecting, do you think, the feelings of people in the show or the excitement? Or
oh, yeah. I think people are enthusiasm? Like, oh, my God, I want to see the new renovation. Yeah. And actually, it's now called the Performing Arts Center.
I know.
Center.
I saw that and I went, oh, my God. Now yeah. we have three of them. We have the Astoria Performing Arts right. Center, which we're fighting for our lives at. We have the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, mm-hmm. which is a sweet little space. And now we have the NCRD mm-hmm. Performing Arts Center, right. which is got the whole community behind them. And that's why it was possible.
It took a long time and lots of grant writing. Yeah. And actually, when we started in 2003, 100% of our proceeds always went to the NCRD. Now it's we get a little bit of a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, than when we did the theater.
Right.
Now we get a little bit more of a cut just so we're a little bit more independent. But it's been quite a haul because for a while we did three dinner theaters. Just
13
to
years,
in.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned dinner theater because I mentioned to you that I played Gwendolyn in The Odd Couple.
Yes.
I think it was 1978.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Ken Chapman, two of whose sons are on this radio station now,
mm-hmm.
Ken Chapman and Kay Bredlow, who sadly passed, his son is carrying on in his tradition acting, but were Oscar and Felix.
Oh,
and we had a blast. And it was dinner theater.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Couple.
I believe so.
Okay.
You know, it's a long time ago, isn't it? Wow. But that play is so...
Well, it was written in 1965.
Right.
And then in 68, it became a movie with Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau. Mm-hmm. And then in 1970, the long-running TV series started.
Right. Yeah. But, I was interested because I saw that Walter Matthau mm-hmm. and Art Carney
yes.
did the original Broadway.
Yeah.
And then Walter Matthau stayed on and mm-hmm. brought in Jack Lemmon for the film. Mm-hmm. And then it was Tony Randall and Jack Klugman. So how does it feel to be Oscar, Brian?
It feels wonderful. I'm almost perfect for this role. I am a grump, and
you're a grump.
And as many people out there can testify, I'm mad quite a bit.
Mad or angry?
Well, angry, I guess. Okay. Not mad. Mad would be
madly
angry.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And how are you doing with? I wrote you down as aggressively irritating, both of you, Oscar and Felix.
Yes. Yes. Felix is played by Mike Sims, who is the local policeman in Manzanita.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And everybody loves him. I think they're coming to see Oscar, but I'm sorry, Ryan, but they're also really coming to see
him. He's done a
Mike
great
Sims.
Job of, he's taller than me, but he's done a great job of seeming smaller than me.
Interesting.
We both bounce off one another really
personality
well.
Personality wise.
Right,
yeah.
So it's a good fit.
So, that's what you just mentioned, the fact that this is a police officer. The beauty of living in a small town, that mm-hmm. you do bump into each other in all kinds of things because everybody has a life and you can't expect them to go into a hole and not talk to anyone else. So that's quite delightful.
True community theater.
True community theater, yeah.
Right.
And some of the other characters are... we have the city councilman plays Speed. His name is Mike Scott. And we have a guy from New York that plays Roy. His name is Michael Sumner. And
Summers.
And you would get a kick out of him because you're from New York, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And he's,
you got a problem with that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he talks like he's from there, too.
Oh, great. Right?
Well, anyway,
he and Bernie.
We're all emulating his speech patterns. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Maybe you want to say who the other
characters
are. No,
go ahead.
Okay, the Pigeon Sisters are Sedona from Sedona
Right,
Fire.
Sedona's doing Gwendolyn.
Yes.
I love
that. Sedona's doing Gwendolyn,
I love
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
Sedona
yeah.
of the Sedona Fire
right.
band. Yeah.
And then Sue Gileno is Cecily.
Cecily.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Michael Dinan.
Michael Dinan is Vinny.
Yeah.
And Is that it?
I think you got everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we really work well together. It's
cast. You didn't talk about Murray the Cop.
Murray the Cop is Jeff Slamal. And he does a great job as Murray the Cop.
Oh, yeah. That should be your New York accent right there.
He's
from California, but he does a good accent.
Right, there you go. There you go. Well, I thoroughly enjoy that play, and I think that it has a long... why not? It's about relationships. It's about people trying to work together or not. And
the more I read about Neil Simon and his view on it, he saw it as a dark comedy because it's talking about when people get ripped apart in a divorce. Mm-hmm. And Oscar has had that experience, but poor old Felix is just going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, they're trying to get along and they're good buddies. And there are many layers.
And it's very realistic, ironically.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part
of it. That's why it's a classic.
Yeah. But it's also very funny. So, again, this is The Odd Couple by Neil Simon. By the Riverbend Players at the brand new remodeled of the North County Recreation District Theater. The NCRD hosts lots of things, art shows and theater and happenings, and it is 36155 9th Street in Nehalem. And you can get advance tickets or information at 503-368-7008. Is that a person or is that the...
That's NCRD.
Okay, that is the NCRD. Mm-hmm. It opens Saturday the 16th, and it's runs three Saturdays, two Fridays. So it's... and then Sunday the 17th and May 1st. So it's basically three weekends... but it starts on a Saturday instead of a Friday.
And the Sundays are both matinees at 2:00.
Right. And the other is at 7:00. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get there in time.
And if you want more information on it, you can go to our Facebook page, which is Riverbend Players.
Riverbend Players on
Facebook? Just type it in and you'll find
it.
It'll come.
Yeah. I guess. I'm not on Facebook. I don't know.
It has all the pictures of the cast.
Right.
Crew.
It's a lot of fun. Okay. Yeah. And my guests have been...
Price? It's only...
We don't do prices.
Sorry.
Yes. Judy snuck that one in, but we don't do prices.
No.
This is
we were going to school on her.
Non-commercial radio, you know. Okay. So, but it's... It's plenty cheap enough.
Yes.
It's one of your local, and it supports community theater. That's the big word, the big C word, community. Mm-hmm. Okay. And my guests, director Betsy McMahon and Oscar Brian McMahon, thanks so much for coming in. And Brian, break your leg. Betsy, don't.
Yeah, really.
Thank you, Carol. Okay.
If I survived this last week.
I think I'm supposed to say break a leg, not break your leg.
I've got to say, I have both of my daughters coming from far away with their families.
Oh, my.
10 other friends and family. It's amazing. People
it's great.
People are flying in.
And the way it should be.
Yeah.
And the weather is going to be gorgeous. So.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here. Okay. And I do have a song from Travis Champ. Actually, this is from, he's going to be at the NCRD this Saturday at 7 p.m. Together with Dusty Santa Marie. And this is actually a Cedar Shakes, but Travis writes all the music. Sandy Koufax, this one goes out to, send it out to New York and send it out to baseball and spring. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Captain glides across the courtroom floor like a virus on the prowl. Enlisted men don't push their luck like this. They stand up straight and shut their mouths. Dana, remember when we used to hustle the neighborhood kids out of their L.A. Dodger baseball cards on the feel of new leather and 100 stitches into the void, my friend. Over time, may we forget the taste of dollar bets.
One-eyed jacks and candy cigarettes into the void, my friend. Over time, may we forget the taste of dollar bets. One-eyed jacks and candy cigarettes. Taught us all Vietnamese so we could know our enemies. I found myself in 1970, a conscientious objector in Montgomery. Dana, remember when he tossed the ball over the bullpen fence? The only relic of our childhood, lost in the woods of Mahama, out somewhere in the thick. Get into the void, my friend. Over time, may we forget the taste of dollar bets. One-eyed jacks and candy cigarettes. Into the void, my friend. Over time, may we forget the taste of dollar bets. One-eyed jacks and candy cigarettes.
Travis Champ, he's getting around. He's doing a European tour right now, I was just informed, which is very exciting. And you'll hear maybe a piece from Dusty Santa Maria, but they are performing tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. at the NCRD, the one we just spoke about in Nehalem. However, right now, I have two of my regulars here.
You want me to collect?
Nah, that's okay. We'll leave the doors open and get some fresh air.
Good.
And and this is a little bit of a twist, though, because usually you guys are here for the North Coast Symphonic Band. But just to confuse the audience, right, this is the North Coast Big Band.
Right.
And folks, if you're confused, don't be surprised, because most things in this town are named North Coast something.
That's for sure.
But this is the North Coast Big Band, and they don't, we don't hear as much from you. I'm not sure why. So who are my guests? Hello. Lee Stromquist. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Carol.
And Bob Joyner. Hey.
How are you doing, Carol?
Good. Good to have you here. So how, where do you usually play and rehearse and perform?
Well, we rehearse twice a month at the Performing Arts Center.
The Astoria, as opposed to the Nehalem or the
right.
Long Beach, right? Right.
Well, I think small, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I just learned about this one. Yeah. Okay. So you do rehearse at the PAC.
We do.
Which is why, yet another reason why we need to save the PAC. And then do you perform regularly, or it's mostly getting together?
Well, this year so far, we've done a Christmas dance over in Chinook, and we usually play in the city park in Klaskanine every Labor
right.
Day.
And right.
So we have three or four things a year we do. This is a benefit for the PAC.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Help pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so what are you going to be doing?
Well, we're playing music of Bob's period. Bob grew up with this music.
Oh. I resent that.
He was around when music was invented.
This is hilarious. I've never heard anyone say that, Lee. It's one thing if the person is not here and maybe dead, like Beethoven. But
no, I stick
it
to Bob
music.
Every chance
I love
get.
It. I love
yes,
it.
He does.
That's great.
But I'll tell you, Carol, some of these songs, why I don't care for them. I didn't like them when they were brand new.
So, but they overruled you and they're playing them anyway?
They're
is that what you're
them
saying?
Anyway, so.
And you didn't walk out?
He doesn't like In the Mood, because he has every place he plays, it's always requested.
Right.
And so he's just got a mental block toward that tune. So we stuck it in first tonight for our concert.
In the Mood as in the name of Wayne Downing's show on Tuesday afternoons?
Yeah. Could be.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so but it Swing Into Spring, is that? Here it is. Yes, Swing Into Spring with the North Coast Big Band. They didn't even write out North Coast, just NC, because everybody around here knows. Ah, I see. Okay, thank you for giving me this. I didn't look at it until just now. So this is 100th year birthday. Are you a You're not 100 years.
No, not quite.
Okay, Carol. Good, Bob. I'm
Give
glad
me a break.
No, you don't. You don't look a day
over. I know
over,
I look it.
No, not a day over 65. I'll stop right there. So, music from the big band era to the present. And then you are having, though, a special 100th year birthday tribute to
Frank Sinatra and Harry James. Somehow they both have same birthdays, or same year birthdays.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Our drummer, Ken Kirby's a big Sinatra fan,
uh-huh.
and he sings really well. And so we're going to feature him doing two Frank Sinatra tunes. One of them is I've Got You Under My Skin, and the other one is Summer Wind. Big Sinatra hit.
So Ken is going to play drums and sing?
Same time,
huh?
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Good for him. That's
and then
terrific.
For the Harry James, Mike Evans, our jazz trumpet mm-hmm. player, is going to do the Harry James piece, and Bob Walters is going to do the intro to And the Angels Sing, and then there's a big trumpet feature in that.
Okay, now we should immediately tell folks this is happening this Sunday. Okay.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Write this stuff down because some performances now at the PAC are at 3 and some are at 2.
Oh, are they?
Yes, and some organizations do 4 even. So you got to know this. You don't want to come late for this.
It's a good thing you're into this, Carol, because we'd never know what's going on.
Well, it's true. I'm confused. That's why I have to write everything down. But this is 2 o'clock this Sunday at Astoria's Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, and tickets at the door, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, and they're nice and cheap. But every penny is going to the Performing Arts Center. This is the North Coast Big Band's give back to the community, which we very much appreciate. And I'm seeing all the pictures of these folks, too. How many folks are there in the band?
There's 17.
17.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that plenty for a big band or just?
Yeah, it's pretty standard, actually.
Why is that? Is that just the number of instruments?
Yeah, right. Can, yeah. You generally have one on a part.
Okay.
That's kind of what makes it fun.
Okay. I realize. Oh, I see. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't see any drums in here, but I think.
No, yeah. There's Ken.
Yeah.
Ken in there.
I see him bending down and fixing his drums or something. So, it's a lot of sound.
It is.
Because,
you bet.
Because of the instrumentation. So 17 sounds about right. What do we need to know about why people should love this kind of music? Not you, Bob, because you don't even like it.
Oh,
no.
there's just a couple of songs in here that I wish we wouldn't play.
Okay.
That's all right.
We're featuring Bob on I've Got a Crush on You.
Oh, thank you.
And he's going to do a big feature on that piece.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, well, you are one of the featured people whenever you perform, I think.
Thank you, Carol.
Excellent.
You're very kind.
Excellent. This Sunday, 2 p.m., at the Performing Arts Center, catch this and you will feel, it's called Swing into Spring, and you will feel it. I'm just going to name off some of these. You already did. Yes, you're starting with In the Mood, The Queen Bee, Georgia, Moonlight in Vermont, Summer Wind, 1 o'clock Jump. Some of these I don't know, and of course some of them I do.
Right.
Secondhand Rose, And the Angels Sing, Basie Straight Ahead, Boogie Woogie Bugle, and Mood Indigo. I love that. I must say the first time I ever heard that was Jennifer Goodenberger singing it.
Really?
Yes. Way, way back at the Performing Arts Center.
Wonderful.
That's what this can be. Oh, and you're ending up with New York, New York. Thank
yes.
you so much.
Absolutely.
I'll take that as a, yeah. We just had the Odd Couple here, so that's perfect. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. Thanks for keeping the music going. If people are, perhaps they can't come on Sunday, but they're interested in this music, do you ever take new members?
We do. We're always looking for saxophone players, it yes. seems like.
Okay, and how do they
contact me?
You want to give a phone number?
Yeah, sure. 503-861-1328.
Okay. 861-1328. And join in. I just had an artist last week who was a trombone player at one point, but he wouldn't. Yeah. Ed Peterson. Oh.
We could always use a trombone player.
There you go. There you go. Hey, thanks so much for coming in and for making such beautiful music.
Okay.
I'm going to let them quietly leave the studio. And because I'm short of time here, I am going to grab my last guest who is sitting very comfortably. She's going to have to move closer to the mic, though, I think. And this would be April Capini. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you did. Hi, Carol.
Who changed the spelling? I mean, the pronunciation. I like the Cappini better. I love Cappino.
It's Italian either way.
Yeah, there you go. Well, April has a show that might even be on the walls by now. I stopped by a couple of hours ago and was blown away by it. I've seen you work before, and I've always appreciated it. But this time, I must admit, the name of the show is Of Hounds and Hares, and I do happen to be partial to hounds, so that gave it an even extra added. You're at the at Imogen Gallery, which opening tomorrow evening as part of Art Walk, which will be happening all over Astoria in a number of galleries and shops. And it's a really fun time, even if it's drizzling outside. It's well worth getting out in Astoria. So, April, I expected you to be a big person because your work is big. You work in charcoal, and you do large, but you're tiny.
It is really big.
It is really big, yes.
No, I have a hard time drawing animals smaller than life size. In general, I don't know what it is, but images just speak to me like they want to be big. So,
well, they're very lifelike and they're very wonderful. And I like that the black and white, the charcoal, which isn't really black, but it's close. You know,
it's really
that,
close.
Yeah. And what's your connection with animals? You seem to be very.
Oh, I've always. I think from really early on, I lived on the border of some woods in upstate New York, and so I was really interested in animals and drawing animals and trying to befriend the deer in our yard, and I've always had cats and dogs, and I guess that's where it started.
But you've got quite a bit of, well, deer are also wildlife, except if you entice them into your garden and make them pets, which many of us manage to do. But this is, I'm quoting the wild and unseen side of animals. Actually, the postcard is the two, are those wolves then, or dogs, or hounds? What kind of...
Oh, the foxes. The foxes,
yes. Yeah. And it said playing, but now I understand the title is a little bit different.
They're wrestling, you know, wrestling. Like they do. And it's just a way that they get along and a way that they assert themselves in their pack and a way that they spend their time when they're not hunting or, you know, we always have these images of what they're doing out there in the world. And they're always hunting or they're always running from something or, you know, one or the other. But they have these lives, and
they're social.
They're social, yeah.
They like each other.
Absolutely.
And they do play together. So there was, you've also worked with bees, and I'm wondering, have you always done that, or is that partly because of what's going on with the neonicotinoids killing off the bees? Or
how? Right. It's definitely was spurred by colony collapse disorder. As soon as I heard about that, I was overwhelmed with a kind of helpless feeling. And like I do, there's the only way I know how to cope with things is to draw or paint. And so I had this idea that I would try to draw more bees into existence.
I love it.
And so
only they're not life size, are they? They're larger.
Larger. It's almost like it speaks to me of how important it wants to be. And you know, like then that's how big it is. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it as a human being that you're doing this, because your drawings are so intriguing. And also I noticed some of your work is framed and some of it is unframed. And I really liked, with the unframed ones, I could just get really close and personal. Right. I felt like they were right there, including the smaller one that's looking right at me. Also, the charcoal is very luscious.
Right. I hate to frame it. I hate to put it behind glass myself. Mm-hmm. I also feel like it's a really personal decision to frame things. The frames can really vary.
Interesting.
So yeah. I like to leave it open, mm-hmm. but I also like for people to be able to get up close and see mm-hmm. the texture and feel it. You know?
Good, because that's exactly what I did. I literally stepped over all kinds of stuff because the show isn't open yet, right. and got really close. I didn't touch.
You probably got to see some cat hair too.
Well, let me ask you. It's charcoal. It's mm-hmm. not covered with glass. What happens then? Is that do you put something over it to coat it, or?
Oh, what? I spray it with a fixative a little bit, but not too much. Just enough to keep it attached to the paper, but not enough to gray it, because mm-hmm. I really like the black, mm-hmm. the black. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's what I was curious, because I couldn't see any sign of stuff on it.
Right.
And yet I thought, boy, I could just see someone putting their finger right on it, and charcoal, that's not a good idea.
It would come off, yeah. It wouldn't change the drawing too much, but it would definitely come off.
We only have a little bit of time, but... Sure. I noticed when I read your piece, and at Imogen's, Terry Sun puts out a wonderful newsletter with lots of information, and you also have a connection with Werner Herzog documentary on the cave paintings, and so you're all over. What is your art background? Have you been making art all your life? I have no idea how old you are, because you're so tiny and young looking, and
thank you.
I don't think you're as young as you look, because
I'm 43.
Oh
yeah.
My God, no, you are not. No, you're not as young as you look. Have you been making art forever? Is this
for as long as I can remember? I've been drawing, of course. It's such a basic thing, but I went to art school.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm. Right out of high school,
okay.
at Alfred University.
Okay.
And I just studied printmaking there. Printmaking and drawing is what I graduated with a degree in. And then I left and came out to Portland and didn't draw or paint for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And so then I started again. So I've been doing this for probably about 11 years.
Were you doing animals when you... Early on?
Yeah. I pretty much always been animals. Some portraits and some other, like, botanical studies, mm-hmm. but mostly
so,
animals.
So were you encouraged as a child? Because, you know, I don't know that you saw me grimace a bit when you said, you know, I always drew because it's a natural thing. And I'm going, oh, yeah, right, in your life. I always danced. That was my natural.
Oh,
I never drew. you know, like, terrified of drawing. And, you know, so when you said that, I thought... a lot of children are discouraged because it doesn't look just right. You know, even making a house, it has to look just right. And they're like, if they get
right.
the colors wrong or something, they're discouraged. Yeah, no.
Right.
Good at
so, like for my kids, I try to just keep my mouth shut about it.
There
and
you
just,
go.
You know, they there just create what they create.
There you go. Love it. And it sustains the feelings that go with it. So.
Yeah, the exploration of their mm-hmm. world. It's just a way to explore the world.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
April Capini at the Imogen Gallery. That's on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. The show is opening of Hounds and Hares. That's H-A-R-E-S as opposed to cat hairs. And that's during Art Walk. So that's 5 to 7. And the show will be up through May 10th. So have a look. I do want to mention a couple of other galleries in town happening. Riversea Painting with Wool, Needle Felting by Portland fiber artist Stacy Polson, inspired by Japanese woodcuts. They're quite wonderful. I've seen them before. Others. And Old Town Framing has scratchboard artist Steve DeLow, with the opposites, using light as dark and dark as light. Tempo Gallery is featuring Ed Peterson in the show, speaking through color. And he was on my show last week. Gala is featuring Jason Scribner, commercial fisherman in Bristol Bay. And the Astoria Art Loft, they usually do stuff a little bit earlier. Lots of action from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then at 1, Native American artist Wade Strood will lead a hands-on session. So check that out. They're at 1106 3rd Street, upstairs from Dots and Doodles. Astoria Fiber Arts Studio. And there's a trunk show of silk shawls, scarves, and other handmade apparel by the wonderful Mihara Shibori Studio. And Laughing Duck Digital Pond is fantasy underwater marine life. Luminary Arts always has an amazing amount of fabulous things, and also music with Ted and Mike. And I noticed that La Luna Loca is showing the photography of Brioni Staley. And boy, it's a wonderful night to get out and see art. There's lots more. And that is Saturday night from 5 to 7. Tonight, the Astor Street Opry opens. The Coaster Theater is showing Apple Tree. Get Lit at the Beach is happening all over Cannon Beach this weekend. Check it out. It's a fabulous festival for readers and people who like to be read, too. Astoria Library is featuring Adam Davis, What We Want from the Wild. Maddox Studio is featuring the Young Choreographers Show at the Liberty at 7. And tomorrow, the Art Walk, Bay Avenue Gallery from 10 to 4, Hideki Yamaya and Mara Winter, Renaissance Music at Chinook, Brad Griswold, Dylan by Bob Scheel at the Hoffman. NCRD is featuring Travis Champ and Dusty Santa Maria. And Stamp Out Hunger, a benefit for Clatsop Emergency Food Bank from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Astoria High School. Stop by.